water. Whoever has no money, come, buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food, and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feasts. Listen and come to me, listen and you will live. I will make everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. Look, I made him a witness to the people, a prince and commander of people. Look, you will call a nation you don't know. A nation you don't know will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. Seek the Lord when he still can be found. Call him while he is yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful their schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them.
Thank you. This passage comes from Isaiah 55. It's one of the lectionary passages today. I'm going to connect it to a second lectionary passage in Matthew 14. So we're going to look a little bit at each, but I want to focus on Isaiah here for just a minute. The context, at least many biblical scholars would argue, the context of the last third of Isaiah comes when Israel is in exile in Babylon. Isaiah is a large book, and many believe there are three separate authors. Right, and the context for each of those elements of Isaiah is a little bit different. But these later chapters seem to come from exile. And I want you to hear the God we serve. The God who loves us deeply. Israel is in exile. You talk about feeling isolated, desperate, oppressed, alone, abandoned, right? Many of us have these feelings now. I feel like each week mine grows. The weight I carry, it feels to get heavier. And I need to hear what the Lord is saying to a community, Israel, going through an incredibly difficult time. More difficult than I can imagine. And I'm going to say these words again from Isaiah. All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come, buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food? Why chase after things that do not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feasts. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live. God's invitation to a suffering people is, come closer to me. Draw close to me. Eat wine and milk, good food, that which satisfies. Why chase after what doesn't satisfy? And I wonder how much of my time is spent chasing after things that do not satisfy, that do not feed the noblest part of me, but in fact leave me empty and feed my fear and my anxieties. How often I neglect God's call to come. As I read Isaiah 55, it made me think of a different passage, Matthew 11, where Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Come to me, Jesus says. Every one of you who's at the end of your rope, who can't take one more day of isolation and COVID, who can't take one more event canceled, who can't handle one more school year of uncertainty, come to me. I'll give you rest, good food. I'll give you the things that really satisfy. But how many of us actually take God up on this offer? It sounds really simple. Over and over again, God comes to those of us in pain, languishing, and God says, "Draw close to me." And it almost feels like a cliche, like, "Oh, okay, yeah, God, let's draw close. Okay, Joe, sure, I'll draw close to God." It feels trite. Like if someone came to me and they were in pain, and I said, well, just draw close to God at this time, I can almost feel the reaction. Like, don't tell me to read my Bible one more time. Don't try to tell me to read the latest Max Lucado book. Like, I don't need you to tell me these things. They don't help. And I understand that resistance. I've got enough cynicism to totally get that resistance, right? Joe, your simple, pat answers are not welcome here. I don't want to hear you to hear me say that. I want you to hear me acknowledge your pain, your suffering, your isolation, your anxiety, your fears, your frustrations. I want you to hear me saying, I get that. I feel that way too. To feel like, where is the leadership I so desperately want? Where are people that really care about their neighbors? Where are communities that are not divided but are together? Where is a world that makes sense to me? I hear you. I feel it. But God continues to call us in the midst of that to draw close. What does that look like? What does drawing close to God really look like? I just want to give you a few suggestions of what drawing close to God might look like. One, turn off CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, close Facebook, and the other elements that are feeding your anxiety and fear, that are feeding your frustration with the world. Tune them out. I'm not suggesting you become an uninformed human being. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you've got to take time to tune out the things that increase your level of frustration, anger, and fear, so that you can add things in your life that actually bring you peace, comfort, and joy. So find a way. Maybe that's dipping your feet in the Boise River, or getting out for a hike, or opening up your Bible, or taking a bath. Doing the things regularly that help you draw close to God. Reaching out to your friend on the phone or over Zoom. Connecting with people in your life in intentional ways, even when you don't think you want to, even when you don't feel like it. This is drawing close to God. Finding rest. Finding hope. I challenge you, if this were easy, it sounds easy. If it were easy, we would all be better at it. But we all suck at it. I'm terrible at this. That means it's really hard. It sounds easy and it's really hard. Find ways to draw close to the Lord, to fill your spirit and your hearts with that, with the things that satisfy and not the things that erode. So this is my first challenge. Step one, tune out so that you can draw near. Okay? And when I say tune out, I don't mean ignore the world. I mean find a balance, right? Step two, we don't end here. We draw close to God for a reason. We draw close to God to find strength and hope so that we can be that light to the world, that salt and light that God calls us to be. And for this purpose, I want to look briefly at Matthew 14. Matthew 14 is the second lectionary passage, and this is a famous story where Jesus feeds the 4,000. We know the story well. The crowds gather. Jesus is on fire, teaching, boom, 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 right? Well, at some point they get hungry, right? Some of you are hungry maybe right now. And so the disciples don't know what to do. There's so many. So they say, Jesus, can you send them away into the town so they can get something to eat? And Jesus says, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. You give them something that satisfies. You feed. So the disciples turn to each other and they're like, we got like 2 fish and 5 loaves. And hear what Jesus says. We got 2 fish and 5 loaves. We got 4,000 people. Jesus says, bring them to me. Bring what you have to me. Once again, come to me with your problems and your burdens. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in front of you? Bring it to me. And so the disciples bring it to Jesus, and the crowds are fed. It's such a powerful story. I feel totally ill-equipped to make any difference in the current world we live in. The problems we face are so daunting that I'd feel hopeless. What could I do? I can't even go to most of your homes and visit you face to face. What could I possibly do? Hear the words of Jesus. Joe, what's in your hand? What's right in front of you? Bring it to me. Hand it to me. Lay it at my feet. This movement over and over again of Scripture of come to the Lord, right? Come to Jesus. Lay it at Jesus' feet, because who knows what God can do with it. Whatever you've got, if you hand it to God, if you use it in service of the Lord, God can do miraculous things, wondrous things. And I want to highlight one story. This is sort of how I'll close out the sermon. One story of this idea of drawing close to God, of using whatever it is we have in front of us, and then watching as God multiplies it. I'm going to share my screen so that you can see. Let's see if I can do this. If you don't know this woman, you should know her, right? Born in Kenya, she was one of the first African women to earn not only her master's in biology, but also her PhD, became a professor of biology. I'm gonna mess her name up. You all know I'm bad at this, right? So you just have to give me grace. Wangari Maathai, she was such a powerful force in Africa. Which is so interesting because she's a woman. She was born in 1940, starts the Green Belt Movement, the organization, in 1977. This is in a culture where women are often not allowed to be leaders, not allowed to be educated, and she sort of rises up in the midst of this. The Green Belt organization that she begins is fighting for democracy in Africa, Kenya specifically, women's rights, and for the environment. So these are her issues. 1977. I'm going to say this again. 1977, right? You can imagine she wasn't super popular. Her own husband divorces her because, from his own words, quote, I can't control her. She refuses to be submissive. So they end up in court divorcing. The judge sides with her husband. She speaks out against the judge's decision, is found in contempt, and spends 6 months in jail as a result of her public rebuke of the judge's decision. Oh, she's undeterred. She just continues, right? It just plugs along. She's eventually elected to the Parliament of Kenya by a 98% vote in 2002. 2004, she wins the Nobel Peace Prize. She's written multiple books. I'm going to show you some because some of you like reading. Right? One of them is called Replenishing the Earth, Spiritual Values for Healing Ourselves and the World. Another is called The Green Belt Movement, and she's just sharing sort of how this movement got started. You can see some of the pictures there. I'll mention some of that. There's also a documentary if you want to take the easy way. I love documentaries. It's called Taking Root, The Vision of Wangari Maathai. This movement that she begins, that she encounters tons of resistance to, ends up starting so small. You talk about like trying to feed 4,000 people with two loaves or five loaves and two fish, right? Like, what's in your hand? They weren't sure what to do. They knew there were environmental problems in Africa. She knew that they needed to address them in some way. So they start by planting 8 trees. They called it the Green Belt. 8 trees. Each of those trees was planted in honor of someone from Kenya. Since that time, the Green Belt has planted an estimated 51 million trees throughout Africa. 51 million trees. It's had such an amazing environmental impact that, again, she won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004. She just planted some trees. She just decided to plant some trees. You think our lives are difficult now, here. We are struggling. Things are hard. I get it. Try being a woman in Africa fighting for women's rights, democracy, and environmental change. That's called isolation. That's called alienation. How do you even start? Where do you even begin? We'll just take what little we have. What's in your hand? We're going to give it to God. Her faith was so much a part of her courage and her perseverance. And we're just going to plant 8 trees. And it'll turn into 51 million. So I don't know what to do. And the problems that face us seem overwhelming to me. What I do know is I can take what I have in my hand. I can draw close to God. Like draw really close to God. And do what little thing God might have for me. Who knows what that will turn into? This is the challenge for us all, right? This is our moment. It's when things look bleakest that God needs us most, right? That God wants to pour God's Spirit out most. Will we be faithful to listen? Let's pray. Lord, I'm grateful for the witness of Angari, her faithfulness, her strength, and her courage to take what little she had and give to you. I pray that we might do the same. There are some listening right now who are at the end of their rope, who feel in despair, like really, really hopeless, filled with a kind of anxiety that is paralyzing. And Lord, my prayer is that they might find ways, consistent, habitual, diligent ways to draw close to you, to connect to you. Maybe that is through music or prayer or nature or art. Help them, Lord, to connect to you, to lay what they have at your feet so that you might do the work of the kingdom through us. Amen. If you have your elements, I'm going to stop sharing. If you have your elements, we're going to do communion, and then we'll sing our closing song. So I've got mine. You can get yours. And now I want you to hear these words. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you have bread, feel free to partake. And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit in us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one, one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, now and forever. Amen. If you would please join in our final song.